Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist years as your chief encourager and host of the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. So today we are back with another Centric TV Queen Boss episode recap. This is the finale, the final episode. So we went from 18 women competing for the prize of $25,000 in investment money to 6 semifinalists last week, and now there's only 4 women competing. So where we stand today is Dana, Naila, Anitra, and Tanika all made the finals. So these 4 women are competing to be queen boss. They're competing for the money. The money is, once again, like I said, $25,000 in investment money, money that will be invested into their business. The judges this week are the same judges as last week for the semifinals. It is Vanessa Simmons, who has been a reoccurring judge, and it's Lauren Lake, who has been a reoccurring judge, and Lisa Price, who was on last week's episode, and she's on this week's episode. I'm guessing that they did that because it all sort of flowed together, so to switch judges might have been a little too choppy, a little too PC. So Lisa Price, if you are unfamiliar with her, she is the founder of Carol's Daughter, and Carol's Daughter is a multi-million dollar business that's sold in a lot of different major retailers, one of them being Target, if that gives you any kind of indication of what kind of business she's running and what kind of numbers she's probably doing. So they started off this final episode with bringing all of the women in and telling them immediately that they were going to have this 1-hour challenge. In 1 hour, they were going to have to meet with 2 venture capitalists and pitch their products, their ideas. The person that receives the least amount in investment money would be out. So the idea was to convince the investor that you needed X amount of dollars and then get them to then commit to an investment. Now, I think we sort of realized that this wasn't real money we were talking. It was sort of like maybe hypothetical situation type thing. I ask you for 100K, you tell me you can give me 50K in potential investment, and that's how the contest was going to go. So the 2 investors were Sapna Shah and Lorraine Pendleton, and these were 2 women, and they both did investing of different sorts, venture capital investing, angel investing. They both had invested in different companies, multiple companies, and the women actually didn't really know much about them before they were set on this journey to meet them. So some of them tried to Google them and did things like that to get a bit of background on the women before they met with them, which was smart, so that they weren't walking into this meeting blind. So let's go over the first investor, or potential investor, that the ladies met with. The first one was Sapna, and Dana was the first to meet with her. Dana was very confident in her presentation. She told about her Cocotique box. She said what the benefits of it would be, and she asked for $1.5 million in investment. And Sapna cut to the chase right away. She said, I'm just not a fan of subscription boxes. And she mentioned that she felt like there was a bit of industry fatigue. Like maybe there was just like too many people doing it. The market was just saturated. And that's why she ended up saying, no, thank you. Not interested in making this investment, but thank you for your time. Thanks for stopping by. So that was the end of that for Dana. Then Tamika sat down with Satna. And let me clarify, I'm explaining this for purposes of ease, for painting this picture for you, but the way that they chopped it together for the show was they went back and forth and showed us the different women meeting with the different potential investors. So it wasn't all back to back to back like this, but that's how I'm going to give it to you. Okay. All right. So Tamika was the next one. She started off confident as well. And she was very engaging with the way that she presented her products to Sapna, and she was straight up with her numbers. When she was asked about them, she was able to rattle them off. I don't recall her sort of like coaxing Sapna into actually trying the product and rubbing some of the body butter on her hands, but who knows, maybe she did that off camera. Either way, Sapna liked what Tamika was talking about, and she liked when Tamika started incorporating and automatically talking about her differentiating factor with her products. So Tamika asked for $20,000 investment, and actually Sapna asked her, how much would you be looking for an investment? And Tamika said $20,000. Now, you know, the interesting thing to me was, not that this was real money that they were going to get, but I was thinking, we all sort of thought when the show came about that $25,000 wasn't that much money in investment when you're talking about starting a business, right? But we get it. You know, you get what you can get. But if you're talking to an investor who could potentially give you what you need to get your business to where you really needed to be, I just wondered if 20,000 was a number that Tamika sort of came up with, or if it was a number that she truly knew that she needed to be okay. And if it was, then that's great, because if she were to win, she'd be covered. She'd have exactly what she needed in terms of investment for her company to keep her going. Then the last person that we had to meet with Sapna was Anitra. Anitra showed her clothes on the phone to Sapna. We could see Sapna scrolling through what looked like maybe some type of line sheet or some type of web imagery of the kimonos and different pieces in Anitra's collection. And Anitra asked for $100,000. An investment, and she said that that would last her a couple seasons, and actually Sapna really liked the pieces. She liked the design element. She commented on that. She liked the vision of the products, and she liked that Anitra was knowledgeable and seemed to have a plan for her business. So that meeting was positive. Anitra left feeling like Sapna could really have an interest in following up and potential investment. So the second investor that the ladies met with was Lorraine Pendleton. So let me say this first, actually. Sapna was she looked to be an Indian woman. Looked to be stylish. From the commentary that we got, it seemed like her interest in investment was more like maybe beauty and fashion. So then we get to Lorraine, and the stage that they set for the meetings with Lorraine, I don't know if this was the show's doing or if this was truly Lorraine's availability, but they all had to meet her on the street. And not on the streets of, Ohio. Cleveland, maybe, where it might be a bit more mellow. It might not be, so hustle and bustle. They were on the streets of New York City, okay? So there's all of this activity going on while they're meeting with Lorraine. It was basically like a drive-by meeting. And to me, it made it very clear that she was giving off this vibe almost as though you're lucky to even, get a bit of her time. And that set the tone. And poor Dana, she didn't even realize that that was the meeting. like, Lorraine had to pretty much say, yes, so this is your time. Like, pitch me. Now, the one thing that I didn't care for about that setup and that situation, and I think it's from personal experience and just having learned certain things, when I feel like I'm in a situation where it's too rushed and it feels too forced, I pay attention to that now. Now, I get it. She's a VC. You want money from her. She may be able to give you this money. She may be able to change your life with this money, impact your business in a major way. So you're willing to meet her almost anywhere and go out of your way. That's one way to think of it, right? But the other way to think of it is, I deserve respect as well. And respect meaning that give me enough of your time and attention to at least sit down, even if it is for 5 minutes, to have a conversation with you, to be able to properly present my items to you. Because a lot of the ladies were like fumbling with their stuff. They had their products because they thought that they were going to sit down with her, yet they're on the street. Now, that's fine to me if, let's say, you happen to run into Mark Cuban in an elevator or on the street. You do what you got to do. You pitch him right then and there, because the chances of you getting on Mark Cuban's calendar and seeing him ever again in life and being able to pitch him, probably not going to happen. But with this, my thought process was, if she took the time to set up a meeting with me, we could have at least stepped into a coffee shop. Just something a bit more respectful of both people's time. And the reason I say that is because I'll never forget, I had a job interview, let's say it was on a Monday, and they asked me to start the job on a Tuesday. This was at a PR agency, and I was already working at a cable company, and I had a solid job there, and I had been there for 3 years. So I felt a bit of turmoil because I felt rushed and I felt pulled. And yes, I was looking for a new job, but gosh, I wasn't unemployed and I wasn't looking for it to happen that quickly. And I felt like everything about them saying, we want you to start ASAP, it wasn't on my terms. Everything was completely on their terms. And because it was that way, it gave me this sense of anxiety. And as I look back on the whole entire experience, I realized it wasn't very respectful of me and my time as a professional in the first place. And so that's how the whole entire experience ended up playing out. It wasn't conducive to my growth, to my learning, to having a great experience. And so that's why I didn't really like the whole meeting on the street thing, because I felt like, as a person looking for investment, if this is someone who decided to invest in you, what are you going to get from her? Will the relationship continue on to be as such, where this rushy, I don't really have time for you, meet me where it's convenient for me type of environment? Because like I said, you get it when people don't have that much time. I think that sometimes, as busy people, you know, we tend to forget sometimes the human connection in taking time and meeting with people and stuff, because we're so busy. But that makes a difference, and it makes a difference in how the relationship could potentially evolve and continue to develop from there. It sort of sets the tone. So now that I said my spiel, let's get into their actual meetings with Lorraine. So Naila met with Lorraine on the street, and she let Lorraine try the tea. Lorraine looked like she just really was not fazed at all by the taste of the tea. Naila just couldn't get a read on whether she liked it or not. But what Lorraine did do was immediately start firing questions at Naila. She asked about Naila's interest in expanding nationally, if that was something she was working on. She asked what she needed to raise. Naila said $100,000. And she did, at the end of their meeting, Lorraine did say, I want to present you to my angel group and see where we can go from there. So that was a really positive meeting for Naila. Now, if you notice, that's why I didn't say that Naila met with Sapna. I skipped that. I skipped Nyla. And that was for a reason, because Nyla met with Lorraine first. And after she met with Lorraine and had such a good feeling about her meeting with Lorraine, she pretty much said to the camera she was going to skip the meeting with Sapna. I was like, okay, I don't really think that's too smart, because that's basically putting all your eggs in one basket and you just met this woman. So that's what she decided, though. I don't know. Maybe there was more to it than we know, but that's what she decided. Then there was Dana. Dana started off with giving figures, revenue that she generated. She said she generated 40K in revenue. She said that she would use the money for digital marketing. She was very straightforward about her business, her numbers, her plans. That was great. And Lorraine actually said that she could be interested in investing. So that was good for Dana. Then there was Tamika. Tamika didn't come off confident. Tamika didn't really know her numbers when Lorraine was asking about them. She had a lot of umming and looking to the side and thinking and sort of drawing a blank, trying to figure it out. So she didn't win Lorraine over at all with her presentation of her numbers. And Lorraine basically said, if as a businesswoman, as an entrepreneur, you need to be able to rattle off your numbers whenever someone asks you this information. So needless to say, Lorraine passed on Tamika. She said that she thinks that Tamika was just in too much of an early phase of her business. So she passed. Then Anitra met with Lorraine. And she asked Anitra if what kind of sales Anitra was doing. Anitra showed her the merchandise. And Anitra said, you know, by the way she was like holding and looking at it, she just kind of felt like Lorraine was just not into it. And then Lorraine told her as well that she felt like she was just a little too early stages for investment from Lorraine. And I thought that was interesting as well, because I was just thinking, based off of everything that we've seen from this show week after week, I don't know that I get it. Lorraine was entitled to say whatever she wanted about investment, whatever, you know, her rebuttal was to be, she was able to deliver that. But being that the show matched them with these particular ladies to go meet with for investment, I just thought, like, I think it's been clear the whole time that all of these ladies are at different points in their business. And if you're meeting with a potential VC, it would seem as though they know a bit about you. You know a bit about them. That's why they're even going to allow you the time to meet with you. So it just seemed to me that the excuse of it being, of these women being too early in their business, I was just kind of like, is that like an excuse or is that really like valid? I don't know, because to me it just seemed like, well, maybe that could have been figured out easily before they even got there. And I think it just goes back to the question that Lauren asked last week, like, which women are we really looking to bring to the finals with this and to walk away with being queen boss? Are we looking for the woman that's already sort of in this business and moving and shaking already and has things going and just looking to really grow and scale? Or are we looking for the woman who's just getting started and could really use this money to get started? She's just getting started. So I don't know. I think that question came in my mind when Lorraine, her response for not wanting to invest or not being interested was that they were too early stages. So during the judges, their time in front of the judges got a chance to sort of give their evaluation and their commentary about the ladies' meetings with the investors. And they didn't say too much. They just pointed out some of the obvious things that we've sort of already discussed and we were able to take away and pay attention to ourselves. So Nyla received the most. She received $50,000 in potential funding. Then there was Dana and Anitra. They received $25,000 in potential funding. Last place was Tanika. She only received $5,000 in potential funding. They didn't say exactly who offered what in potential funding, but those were the numbers. So because of the numbers, Tanika came in last place, so she had to leave. Her time in the contest was done. Now it came down to, and basically this competition of them meeting with the investors and everything like that, that took us through the majority of the show. So now we're getting toward the end, and it's all about fight for yourself. Tell the judges why you deserve to be queen boss, why you deserve to walk away with the whole prize. So the ladies all had to fight for themselves, Dana, Anitra, and Naila. Now, this part was very interesting because all of the ladies, in fighting for themselves, they became much more vulnerable and revealing with their stories, with their purpose, with their connection to their business. So that was good because it really made the judges feel them more and feel why they needed this money. It connected them to the purpose that these ladies had for trying to win this money. So first was Dana, and Dana talked about the past 20 years having prepared for this moment. She talked about, again, that her time of going through a relationship where she was abused and how this was sort of her saving grace, and this was her lifeline and what gave her the bounce back in this world. And she talked about loving yourself and her struggles to come out of that abusive relationship, and then to come on the other side of it and inspire other women with this box of beauty to love and pamper yourself and say to yourself, you're beautiful, you deserve the best. So that was the first time that the judges really felt like they got a chance to see Dana in the real Dana form, not the robotic mask Dana form that they felt like they had experienced before. Lauren actually mentioned that. She was like, this is the woman I've been waiting to meet. So they were impressed with her last ditch effort to put herself at the forefront of the competition. Then there was Anitra. And Anitra talked about preparation meeting opportunity and saying that often talent was not fueled in this world and not the thing that's largely embraced, and she wants to build a business that her son can be proud of. And she highlighted the fact that there was a lack of Black voices out there in the fashion industry, and she said that women need to connect with two parts of themselves, the fighter in them and then the soft, flowy side in them. And that's what her brand brings to the marketplace. And she did mention that she took note to what they said, and she talked about creating the potential of creating some lower price point items, because she said, if my mission and my purpose is to connect with women, I need to be able to connect with a larger mass of women, basically a more approachable price point. Then we had Naila. Naila actually broke it down and gave us some information that we hadn't had before. She said, I'm going to take the wall down now. I'm going to be transparent now. And she said that she started this business as a way to actually connect with her father. The father that she mentioned in the very first pitch, who when he passed away, he said, this recipe is to be sold and not told. She didn't tell us that this father had served a significant amount of time in jail, and she didn't have a relationship with him. And the recipe was her father's that he handed down to her, but she only really wanted to start this business initially as a way to connect with him, as a way to build a relationship with the man that she had known for all of these years because he had been in jail. And it was her way to feel closer to him and to do something with him that had meaning. And of course she got emotional, and I think it just made more sense. It brought her story full circle at that point when you're like, okay, we get it now. This was born out of one situation and has really turned into another situation. And she said, look what I took and what I made from nothing. She didn't graduate from college or anything like that. She didn't know. She says, I don't know anything about finance and all of that kind of stuff in a formal capacity, but she knows hustle. She has passion. She has heart. So what she was able to do is make something out of nothing because she was driven and dedicated to doing it. And she said, straight up, the question is not why should I be queen boss? It's why not pick me? That's what she said. It's why not pick me? I want to win. I'm here to win. So she was, to me, I felt like she was the most passionate that we've seen her the entire time. And Lisa told her, after she said her everything she needed to say, Lisa told her, pat yourself on the back sometimes, honey. Because I guess Lisa got the feeling that maybe she doesn't pat herself on the back enough and give herself credit for what she has accomplished thus far, because she's so busy trying to win. So after the three ladies, you know, gave their pitches as to why they should be queen boss, then the judges did their deliberation. And the judges really liked Dana's messaging. Dana from Coco Teak, they liked that she finally was sort of coming out and being the human and relatable woman that they wanted her to be and wanted to see this whole time. They felt like her messaging spoke to them. They said that, Vanessa said that she felt like Dana even rediscovered what the box meant to her. And Lisa was saying that she felt like Dana needed to figure out how to incorporate everything she said to them into the sales for this box, into the marketing, into the social appeal. Then Lisa was blown away by Naila's business savvy, her research, her ability, how, you know, when she went to go meet with the investor, when she went to go meet with Lorraine, she didn't just Google Lorraine. She listened to a podcast that Lorraine had been featured on. She just had this innate ability to know what she should do to give herself an advantage and to try and win in situations. And we've seen that from her before in this competition. So that was good. Then Lisa also said that she's just a natural hustler, and all of them just agreed that she was a natural hustler. She was going to do this no matter what, and they liked her story. They liked what she incorporated and what she shared with them, and the fact that she finally let her wall down. And they felt like Anitra had something unique with her talents, and they really, really liked that she was being flexible in her business, and she had already shown them that she was willing to take their suggestions and apply their suggestions in her business. So they liked her story as well. So really, it was a hard decision for them, because they really favored and liked all of the women. They didn't have anything bad to say about any of the women. They liked them all. They liked their businesses. So then it was just a matter of who do they pick? And they didn't tell us exactly how they decided on the woman that they selected. But without further ado, they selected the winner as Naila. Naila with her Ellis Island tea, her sweet tea that came from the recipe from her father. So Naila walked away as the queen boss with her $25,000 reward money, and she was happy. She was happy, she was appreciative, and you could tell that she's the type of person that you're going to see her. You're probably going to see these Ellis Island teas in stores everywhere, because she already has distribution. So I'm excited to see what is in store for Naila in the future. I'd really actually love to get her on the Life According to Her podcast. Talk to her about the experience. Talk to her about what's next for her and how she plans to sort of scale her business and just the trials and tribulations that she's gone through being a businesswoman and learning what you have to learn and trying to understand the world that she's in now. So that'd be cool. If anybody listening knows her, tell her to holler at us. So that was the Queen Boss recap. I definitely enjoyed the series. Hope that they make it back for a season 2. I think it was a great idea for Centric TV to invest in this type of programming for their network. Really, really showed a lot of different women who are out there trying to make things happen for themselves. And you can't do anything but respect that. If you're not already following Switch, Pivot, or Quit on Instagram, where we provide a regular dose of feel-good encouragement and inspiration, mainly on IG stories, so be sure to check that out. You might want to get down with us over at Switch, Pivot, or Quit on IG. And if you're already following and you're thinking, I don't regularly see posts from Switch, Pivot, or Quit, you know what you might want to do? I got a good insider tip. Turn on your post notifications. That means every time we post a new feel-good post, you will be notified and you will be the first to know. So That is my solution to all the Instagram algorithm problems. And also, don't forget to head over to www.switchpivotorquit.com to keep up with all the goodies that we provide over there as well.